thankful for that prayer. I'm glad to see each of you that are here tonight. There's no place like the Lord's church for us to come to when we have the troubles and cares of this world to contend with. The Lord has provided for us in His church a strong city that has salvation for walls and bulwarks. And when we come to the house of God, we come to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and give praise and honor and glory to His name. But we also come to feed on His word, to be reminded again of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. A truth that is not declared just everywhere in this world. I believe the creation of God declares this truth. Every day that we live, we can look at the world, see the handiwork of God and what God has done. We can see that there's a mighty, awesome God who's in control and be able to say in our hearts how great Thou art. That is, if the Lord has given us an eye to see it and an ear to hear it and a heart to understand it. That is what a little child of God has that the man of the world, the woman of the world, does not have. And if you have the eye to see and the ear to hear and the heart to understand from the creation of Almighty God that there is a God and that He is an awesome, powerful, mighty God, the Lord has allowed you to see that. That's an evidence of the work of God's grace in your life, because the world, by wisdom, does not know God. And even as they search a creation that points to Him in every aspect, in every area, they will deny His very existence. And that is because of the pride of man. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. And that would be you and me were it not for God's grace that has allowed us to see differently. And I'm so thankful tonight that even the creation of this world, the beauty of God's handiwork, tells us that God is a great God and He's on His throne. And yet there is more than just creation necessary. If that had been all that was necessary, the Lord wouldn't have written His word and given it to us. God in the Old Testament moved men to write and pin down things that God's little children needed to know. And they were moved by inspiration of God, and they wrote by inspiration of God. And then in the New Testament, after the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the declaration of that which was given in the Old Testament in types and shadows, revealed, that wonderful mystery, revealed in clarity, given to us in the New Testament. And that which is so clearly seen in creation can only be seen by God's little children. Just as that's true, that which is clearly written in God's Word and plainly laid out can only be seen by God's little children. And the Lord is the one who's chosen the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the ability for a man to stand before a congregation and declare from the Word of God the truth of the gospel. The world would call that foolishness, but that's not so with you and with me tonight. We believe it is the power of God and the wisdom of God that He so designed His church, so that coming out from the world and coming into this place and sitting down together, we do it to worship God, but we get much out of it. We get far much more out of coming and listening to the Word of God and learning from the Word of God than we ever put into it. And I pray tonight the Lord will bless us with that. If I'm not here before you very long, that the time that I might be before you, God would bless us to worship Him as we listen to His Word, but also learn of Him. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." This is part of what we're doing tonight. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That is to hear from my word and be doers, not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word, and learn to me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. We need rest, don't we, in this troubled world. I know tonight I need rest. And I'm not talking about physical rest. I will need that later, and I hope I get a little better sleep than I did last night and the night before. It seems like I've been able to lay down in the bed plenty for long enough amount of time, but sometimes the sleep hasn't been as easy to come by. When I was younger, I could lay down anywhere and sleep anywhere. Now, as I get older, I can lay down in a perfectly good bed and still toss and turn. And the aches and pains and other things, which they tell me are never going to get any better and probably going to get worse, continue to plague sometimes my sleep. But tonight, I hope we'll be awake spiritually. I hope we won't be asleep. You know, it's something sometimes when you don't want to go to sleep, you fall asleep. When you do want to go to sleep, you can't sleep. So I pray tonight that the Lord will keep us physically awake, but more importantly, spiritually awake, so that we'll benefit from the teaching of God's Word tonight. The passage that's on my mind, and I have had different measures of feeling about this passage as I've read it. There's sometimes that I've been reading and I think, yeah, that's exactly what I should speak on. And then there's been a couple times that I felt like, well, maybe I should be somewhere else. And as I come before you tonight, I'm kind of in a mixture. I kind of feel like, you know, there are some things that really light up, and then there seems to be other things that might be on my mind. So we're going to read the passage in your hearing, and if the Lord will bless us to speak from it a little while, we'll thank the Lord for that, and we'll sing a hymn and be thankful to the Lord and go home. And whatever the Lord gives us, we want to be satisfied with that. I have, the best I know how, made an effort to look at this passage, to study it, try to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But I've learned down through the years that just studying doesn't mean you're going to preach. It takes the Lord to bless the preaching, and it takes the Lord to bless the hearing. And I do pray tonight that you're praying for me and for you, that the Lord will bless us together as we look at His Word. Matthew chapter 9. Appreciate the prayer that Brother Charles has offered by the grace of God. That's where every good thing comes from. And I appreciate your attendance tonight. Matthew chapter 9. We begin reading at verse 9. We're going to read the account of the calling of the apostle Matthew to apostleship. And what a beautiful account this is given to us in God's Word. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 9. You'll find this also recorded in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 2 and the Gospel of Luke in chapter 5. If the Lord will bless us, we may look at a portion of that if the Lord leads in that direction. We'll certainly try to have some reference to it and encourage you to read it later if we don't get to turn there. In chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "And Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw... As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus passed forth and from thence. We read in another part of the Bible that Jesus was at Capernaum and he went down to the sea. There at the sea, he saw, down by the seaside, he saw a man. And this man was named Matthew. And in the other accounts, it calls him Levi, the son of Alphaeus. I believe that's pronounced somewhat correctly. Probably incorrectly, but it'll work for now. And his name was Levi. And we think about Matthew and think about, of all the people in this world, the Lord only chose 12 apostles. We think about the Lord and His choice of them. We read over in John chapter 15 where He tells them very clearly, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." And we see of all the people that could have been called, we wonder at times why the Lord would have ever chosen a Matthew. Now, Matthew was a Jew. The name Matthew is a Jewish name, and Levi is a Jewish name, both of them Jewish names. We have pretty good evidence that he's a Jew. But he wasn't just any Jew. He had a job that, as a Jew, was a job that was considered not a very good one. Even today, we wouldn't consider him necessarily having a good job because he was a tax collector. He took tax. You could call it tribute. You could call it toll. It was for the Roman government. It was Roman tribute, Roman toll, Roman tax. And as a Jew, he took that tax from his own people in order that it might be given to the Roman government. And if he would just take the part that was just rightfully so, it might not have been such a bad job. But the publicans were noted. As a matter of fact, when you read the word publican in the Bible, it usually comes, as it does here, publicans and sinners. Because you could almost put the word robber and sinners, thief and sinners, crooks and sinners. It wasn't a job that you'd say, okay, let me look and find someone to be an apostle. I'll pick one of them. It was a job that you think, boy, that would surely disqualify anyone. But that wasn't the case with the Lord. Because Matthew wasn't just any man. Matthew wasn't just named Matthew or Levi and the son of Alphaeus. Matthew was one that the Lord knew in covenant even before the very foundation of the world. Matthew was one whom the Lord loved. Matthew was one whom the Lord chose. Matthew was one of God's little children that even though he was in a job that he shouldn't have been in and doing things, I don't know all about what Matthew thought or what his life was like. The Bible doesn't give us all that account, but we do know this. Matthew was one that was born of woman that was in the fall, and when it came down to what he had that Christ needed in order for him to be apostle, the answer to that question was absolutely, positively nothing. As a matter of fact, he had seemingly everything that would disqualify him. And you and I have a lot in common with Matthew because of that. Now, this might upset some people. I hope it doesn't upset you. But if it does, it must upset you. What is it that you and I have tonight that the Lord really needs? You know, the world, the religious world, a lot of times talks about, and that's what upset the Pharisees, because the Pharisees felt like the Lord needed them to do a whole lot of things for Him. And they were about doing those things, and they wanted to live good enough, righteous enough, keep the law, follow the law, and they felt that their righteousness was going to come by the law. And therefore, when they saw Jesus having anything to do with this Matthew, who was a publican and a sinner, and they saw the friends of Matthew and others coming, they said, you know, why would he and how could he, why would you as his disciples, and how could you as disciples have anything to do with publicans and sinners? As if they were not. And what we must understand tonight is when we all look in the mirror, you know what we look at? You know what I look at tonight when I look in the mirror and I see just what I am? What I am? When I look into the Scripture and see just what I am? When I take that which God has taught me in my heart and I say just what I am? I have to say with that wonderful hymn, Jesus, lover of my soul, there's a verse in that says, false and full of sin I am, thou art full of truth and grace. Can you feel that tonight? I hope you tonight feel that. I thought of that passage where I tried to speak from last week over in Luke, I believe it's chapter 15, where it mentioned about the excuses that they made when it was supper time and it was time to come and eat supper. And there were those who made excuses about why they could not come. And the Lord was upset with those who made those excuses. And so he comes to those that were going to call and he says, all right, you go out into the streets and into the highways. And who does he say for them to call? There were those who he called that were too busy, that were too involved,
that didn't see the supper as being important enough, that didn't understand their great need of the supper, didn't understand their great need of the fellowship, and there were those who felt strong and able and had all the ability in themselves and even felt they could possibly even have fellowship with God when they wanted to because they were good enough and right enough to do that. I'll tell you what, when the Holy Spirit works on your heart and awakens you by the grace of God, you know better than that. Sometimes your flesh might get confused about it, but you in the inner man know what you are by nature, and that is I'm lost and I'm undone, and you fall into that those qualifications of those that He sent His servants to talk to. And you know, when I think about them, I think about that picture of our old church right here at Abbey Creek. You know, somebody said, what do you mean by that? Well, the ones He called out were the poor and the halt and the lame and the blind. Tonight I stand before you and you know who I look at? You know, and I'm not, somebody said, well, that's kind of insulting. I hope you don't feel insulted tonight. When I look at you and I say, I see tonight those who need Him so very much. Because you've been taught by God's grace that you're poor and you're halt. Poor means you don't have anything to pay. You don't have any riches. You don't have the ability to carry yourself through. The Pharisees would have been insulted that you called them poor because they felt they were righteous and good enough that they could have communion with God and that others were a whole lot less than they were. And that's why they had trouble with Jesus having anything to do with publicans and sinners because they felt they weren't among them. They didn't understand they were poor. The church at Laodicea had a problem, didn't it? It had become lukewarm. And you know what it had forgotten? It had forgotten that it was poor. It had felt like it was good and increased with it was rich and increased with goods and didn't need anything. When the Lord said, you're poor and you're miserable and you're blind and you're naked. You know, a good preacher is going to tell his congregation every time he gets up before them. He's going to tell them how wonderful the Lord is and how great the Lord is. But he's also going to remind them what they are. And that is that they're poor and miserable and blind and naked. And in this text, that's why once you understand that, you know what you'll do? You as a poor man will go to the source of riches. And you know who that is. There's a king on the throne tonight. There's one who rules and reigns. There's one who can help you in your troubles. There's one when you feel overwhelmed by sin who can help you through that. When you're overwhelmed by life's problems, who can help you through that. There's one who cares so much about you, just like He cared about a Matthew. Did Matthew deserve Him to come and do anything for him? Absolutely not. And if you think and I think that for a minute that I can get good enough to cause God to merit God's favor, it'll never be by His favor, but I'll tell you, because of His grace, every little child of God, and he's got a number as innumerable as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, a number that no man can number, and He will not lose one of them, and He cares for every one of them, and His care for me doesn't diminish His care for you. His love for me doesn't diminish His love for you. He's got just as much love as He's ever had, and the love He showed to Matthew didn't allow Him not to show some love to me. He's been the same friend that He was to Matthew, that He's been to me. Has He been that to you? I'll tell you, if He has, it's not because you found Him. It's because He came to where you were and He awakened you. When He got finished with Matthew was a different fellow. I believe Matthew's whole life changed. I believe his whole direction changed. I believe everything about him. Jesus said, follow me. And when Jesus said those words, He said them powerfully. And there was an effectual calling that took place here. Where Matthew was there, a publican. You know what he did? He left all. The scripture here says, and he arose and followed him. If you read over in one of the accounts, it says he left all and arose and follow him. That means everything that used to be important is no longer important. Everything has changed. Remember what the scripture says, wherefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of things I used to love to do I don't love to do anymore. There's a whole lot of things that I love today that at one time I would have thought, well, that would be torture. That would be just absolute torture. And now my appetite has changed. Has your appetite changed? Somebody said, well, God won't make you do something you don't want to do. I'll tell you what God does. He works on the inside and makes you want to do what He would have you to do. He changes your appetite. He works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He gives you a hunger for spiritual things that you can't live without. Sometimes the old flesh will think, I don't really need to do that. I can go another way. I can go another course. I don't have to go this way. Let me tell you, little child of God, there is chastisement that awaits God's little children who walk in disobedience. And there are blessings that we'll find, the deliverance of Almighty God as we take up our cross and follow Him in obedience. And when He has taught us in our hearts, hey, it's time to follow Him. It isn't time to tarry. It's time to lay aside all those things. The sin which does so easily beset us, which is the sin of unbelief. And take up our cross. And looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to walk out upon the promises of Almighty God. And trust the Lord. Trust Him with what? Trust Him with my eternal home. That when I die, I'll be with Him. Not because I did something and accepting Him. So many tonight are trusting in what they did. And they're trying to rest with that. They can't sleep because they're trying to rest with what they did in order to be secure about heaven. Tonight, I don't want one of you to go out of here thinking it's something you did that made heaven secure. Let me tell you what happened. Jesus had a love for His people, and the Father sent Him into this world to die for them. And when Jesus died for them, their eternal home was safe and secure, and not one of them will be added to the number, nor one left out. Everyone for whom Jesus died will be at home with Him in glory without the loss of one. And you and I can rest in that and that alone. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And He said it twice, and we can say it three or four or five times, and it's still the truth. Little brother Matthew was about to see and understand some things he never saw or understood before. And oh, he doesn't get a full revelation, but it's coming. It's coming. And you know, by the way, we tonight don't have a full revelation. He deals with us along the way. There's a whole lot of things in the Bible that I've wanted to know about. And I said, Lord, please help me. Sometimes I say, well, let me see over if I can just study enough and get it figured out. I've learned that you can't study enough to get it figured out. Oh, you're supposed to study, but you're also supposed to pray. God, help me see. God, give me that which I need. And you know what He'll do? He'll give it to you right when He wants to give it to you in His time, in His way, and it'll be in such a way that you'll know it wasn't me who got that, it's Him. I hope you understand that tonight, even as we're preaching, that as we've heard those good preachers this weekend, if we got anything from them, and I got a bucket full, like the one said this weekend, he said, my cup is overflowed, I'm drinking from the saucer. You ever do that? Drink from the saucer because your cup overflowed? Brother Paul Troutner used to say it splashes on somebody. And there's been many times his preaching did splash on me. It splashed in this church, didn't it, Sister Martha? We enjoyed that fellowship. And it made an impact on my life. And your life is supposed to make an impact as well. What? When you take that which the Lord has given you and you learn of Him and you walk and follow after Him and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and the whole armor of God and you go out into this world and you walk in the good works that come from God and those works honor and glorify God. You let your light shine before men that others may see your good works. That's splashing on somebody. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'll tell you, that's what happened with Matthew. Matthew didn't just arise. He went and called everybody, all his friends. And guess who his friends were? They were publicans and sinners. You know who your friends are? They might not like hearing it, but they may not accept it. But they're you know what's like you and me? You know what we have alike? being born. We're born of woman. We fell in Adam. We are all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We all stand in need of the blessings of Almighty God. We have no awareness or desire to follow Him at all until He has first worked in us. And if He has first worked in us and given us that understanding, that's an evidence that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And therefore, we're going to be with Him in heaven. And while we're living here, we ought to act like it, talk like it, walk like it. And that means I can lean on Him and trust in Him and depend upon Him. And my joy ought to be full. Rejoice in the Lord. One brother preached on that today. I'm just giving you what they preached on. One preached on today the joy of the Lord and why we ought to be rejoicing in the Lord always. We've got a home in heaven promised by the Almighty God of heaven. And we have a Lord who will never leave us nor forsake us. You and I, in the midst of the most difficult storms, have one to trust in that'll help us through life. Listen, you're not well tonight. I'm not well. We understand that. That's why it's good to know we got a physician. Two of these writers say a physician. I'm thankful one of them says the physician. He's the physician because he's not just a physician. He's the physician. Jesus passed forth from thence and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. This is like a toll booth, a place where it's collected. And he saith unto him, follow me. His words came in power. Aren't you glad tonight we have a Lord whose words come in power? I've been praying at times. Sometimes I'm praying for someone and I just like to fix it. I like to fix the things. I like to fix the problems. And I realize I cannot fix them as much as I want to fix them. As much as I want to do. As much as I'd like to do it. I can't do it. And even if I wanted to do it, I'd probably mess it up. It'd be something. I'm glad I don't have the power because I don't have the understanding and the wisdom that Almighty God has. But I know what we can do, can't we? We can do what? We can take it to the Lord. And then we can leave it there. And when we take it to the Lord and leave it there, we can leave that throne of grace and peace knowing God knows best and it's in His hands. And if it is His will, He will work His will among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none that can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? And because we belong to Him, we can ask Him what we desire and He will give it to us if it is in accord with His will. And if it is not in accord with His will, He'll withhold it from us. And it's wonderful to know those things all that God does work together. They work for our good. That's wonderful tonight to be able to preach. And I want to believe it. And I want you to believe it. But I can't give you the belief. I can't give the belief to myself. I have to pray, Lord, I believe, but help down my unbelief. And then pray for one another that the Lord would grant unto us that faith. You know, He's the author and finisher of our faith. We're not the author and finisher of faith. He is. But when we look to Him, if we have even been given the great faith, the grain of a mustard seed, we can say on the yon mountain, get thee hence, and it'll go. That is a mountain that needs to be moved. Not just any mountain. No, it's not just a pretense. It's anything that you come across in your life that you face. And it says, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him. If you look over in Luke chapter 5, in the language of Luke chapter 5, He says this. He says, verse 28, it says, and He left all, rose up and followed Him, and Levi, that is Matthew, made Him a great feast. You know why He had a supper? It was for Jesus. It wasn't just any supper. It was a supper for Jesus. He made Him a great feast in His own house. In other words, Jesus has done this for Him, and in His desire was that He might have more communion and fellowship with Him. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with Him. And so when they had this great supper, Matthew had this great supper, he was excited about the things of God and what the Lord had done for him. Doesn't that happen to you when the Lord's done something for you, it just gets you excited and you want to share that? And he shared it with those that came. There were many publicans and sinners came, and they sat down with Him and His disciples. And along with that, there were those Pharisees. Those Pharisees thinking, boy, that's a motley looking crew over there. You know what they saw? That's what they'd see tonight if they looked in on us. They'd see, well, that's a motley looking crew. Singing, poor, weak, and worthless. They said, "Oh, yes, they are. That's a poor, weak, and worthless bunch. I am so vile, so full of sin. I fear I'm not born again." Oh, they don't have very much if that's what they believe. Where is their trust? Listen, their trust is not, our trust tonight is not in ourselves. And if it is, God forbid that it would be. It is not to be in us, it's to be in Him. There were, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answered them. It says, but when Jesus heard that, isn't it always something? They didn't come to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes, they weren't about to come to Jesus because he's put them to flight many times. And his words, he was too, but it came to his disciples. And there he thought, "Well, I might be able to get over." They thought, "We might be able to get over the disciples." But Jesus, in his all omniscience, he's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. You know, Jesus is all over our life. We sometimes think somebody's out there to do us harm. Don't you think for a minute the Lord isn't aware of that. And don't you think for a minute He doesn't say, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." We don't have to, we can fret, and as Brother Darrell preached last weekend, we don't have to fret ourselves over evildoers. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. We've got a Lord who will take care of things. We don't have to right every wrong. We can trust in our God. We are children. He's the Father. Isn't it good to have a great Father? We can depend on Him. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." How about with you tonight? Are you sick? Do you need Him? When it comes time to leaving this old world, do you feel like you're going to need a friend? Do you feel like you need someone as an advocate? Do you believe there's someone that has to stand in your place? Do you believe and understand that? But listen, if you believe and understand that, it's because the Lord's taught you that in your heart. And the good news is that you have a friend in Jesus. We sang it. We ought to believe it. What a friend we have in Jesus. So that when we face the old troubles of this world, even in leaving this world, we can say, "All, it is well with my soul." That's how the hymn writer was able to write, "Farewell, vain world, I'm going home." He wasn't because he thought he was good enough. It was because he was trusting in the God of heaven. And I'm telling you, that's where I'm going to have peace about eternal things tonight. Trusting in the God of heaven. Not in my confession, not in my baptism. Not in the church that I joined, not in the preacher that I shook the hands of, but in the Savior who died for me at Calvary. That when He died, He took every sin that I'd ever committed in His own body, and there at Calvary, He paid the price. He endured my hell. He washed me in His blood. And because of that, I have a friend in Jesus. He's the friend of publicans and sinners. And that's why He came, because He knew His people were sick. And He was the physician that came for them. He came for them. He is not a physician. He's the physician. He says, "They that be whole need not a physician." Somebody would say, "Well, you mean the Pharisees and the scribes were whole?" Absolutely not. They were not whole. But they thought they were whole. You and I tonight will not enjoy His fellowship when we feel like we don't really need. That's what was wrong with the church at Laodicea. They had forgotten how much they need Him. I believe our little church here at Happy Creek needs Him. I believe if we're going to have a good meeting next weekend, we're going to need the Lord's blessing. I believe we should know that well enough that we're praying all week, that it's on our prayers all week long that the Lord would be with us, that He would send us ministers who would preach the gospel, that they would declare unto us the truth, that when they come, they'd be blessed of the Lord to declare the truth, and that He would give us ears to hear it and eyes to see it and a heart to understand it and a zeal to desire it, so that we would put Him first above everything else in our life and live our life in such a way to honor and glorify the Lord. And as we face every problem and situation that we come to this week, that the Lord would be with us. Do you believe that the Lord is able and will be with us in every situation? I do. May the Lord give us the ability to trust Him so we're not worried to death. Why? Because I got a good physician. I don't have just a good physician. I have the great physician. I have a physician who can help every case, who never misses a diagnosis, who knows just what medicine to apply, who knows just when to do it, who gives every direction a right on task, who never misses a single patient. Those for whom He came, He is able to supply exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Remember, He says it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, whom the Apostle Paul said himself, of whom I am chief. I tell you tonight, we'll not be any more blessed than when we're able to see ourselves in the great need that we're in and then completely trust in the Lord. That'll be the when you're the strongest you are in your life is when, in a sense, you're the weakest. When you recognize, I can't handle it. So I have to depend and trust upon the one who can, and that one is the one who cannot fail. That's our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. We love you.
The poor, the halt, the lame, and the blind.